Now we have our donuts and our soda and our candy, but we don't have our onions yet, because this story is about onions. I will provide the onions, and if you want to have the onions, you'll listen. You don't have to eat the onions, you have to listen to the onions. The story is about the onion man. All right. It was a freezing, snowy day, like today, but there was much more snow. Today the snow didn't stick. Outside in this story were big, gigantic piles of snow. And not by the side of the road, in the road, in the middle of the road. They couldn't clear it off, there was so much snow. And if there's so much snow, it's very hard to go because of the snow. The wagons could not go. The people could hardly go because there was so much snow. And in the town that this story takes place, in Lublin, many, many things did not reach the town because of the snow. The farmers could not bring the food. The farmers could not bring the vegetables and the fruits. And a lot of people had things saved up in their basements, but there was one thing that everybody ran out of, and that was onions. You couldn't get onions. Do you have onions? No, we ran out. Do you have onions? No, we used up all of our onions. Do you have any onions we could borrow? We don't have any onions for ourselves. Sorry, no onions. Now, is it the end of the world, no onions? Well, in those days, they didn't have too much to eat except for like potatoes and onions and stuff like that. A lot of the Jewish cooking was done with those delicious onions. How many boys like onions? Pretty good. Well, it wasn't that big of a deal until it came to Shabbos. And there is such a minhag amongst many people, a tradition, and of course, minhag Yisrael Tayrihi, that on Shabbos afternoon they have Ayer und Zibel, or Ayer und Zibel, it depends how you pronounce it. Ayer is eggies, or Ayer is eggies, and Zibele is what? Onions. It's such an inyan by many people to have Ayer und Zibel, Ayer und Zibel, Ayer eggs, and Zibel onions. And the Yidden didn't have onions. They had the eggs. I guess they had the eggs, but they didn't have the onions. The story doesn't say a problem about eggs. The story, the problem was about onions. And in the house of the great tzaddik, the Chayze of Lublin, there was not one onion to be found to make Eir und Zibel. Not even a little onion. Not even a tiny onion. And the Chassidim were getting concerned. Well, if they don't have Eir and Zibel, it's also, you know, not so good. But if their Rebbe doesn't have it, their Rebbe knows, like anything in Torah, any small thing even, has a special meaning even in Ruchnius. Even a minik, even a small thing that we think is small, could be a very great thing in Ruchnius. Now, if such a thing that tzaddikim eat on Shabbos, Eir and Zibel, there must be even a ruchniyistik thing to it, and the Rebbe is not going to have it this Shabbos, oy gewalt, the Chassidim want to get their Rebbe onions. They put on their big boots and their big fur coats and their fur hats after the davening, and they're going all around looking. Maybe some farmer came from far away, or maybe even close by, and he came with bags of onions to sell for Erev Shabbos like they usually do. But of course, nobody was selling anything because of the snow. They couldn't reach the town. There was too much snow. And the Chassidim were plodding through the snow in the street with the big boots on their feet, and they're looking for anybody who's selling onions, and there is absolutely nobody. Well, one of the Talmidim of the Chayze of Lublin, his name was Reb Naftali of Rapshitz, and he was walking on one of the big snowy streets after he was done davening, and all of a sudden he sees a farmer, a peasant, dressed in one of those big fur hats and a big fur coat and big boots, and he's standing there with a big bag, and he's saying, "Who want to buy onions? Who want to buy onions?" Or cibule, or whatever language he spoke, Polish or whatever it is. "Who wants to buy the onions?" A bag of onions. Ooh. Reb Naftali of Rapshitz goes through the snow as fast as he can go. And he gets to the farmer selling the bag of onions. How much for the onions? Now the farmer knows that Jews like to buy onions, especially Erev Shabbos. He was smart to that fact. And in fact, he used to come to the town all the time to sell onions, let's say for 10 cents an onion. And now he knows he's going to get a much better price. Each onion, $10. What? $10? Usually it's 10 cents. $10 or 10 rubles. They didn't have dollars in that place in that time. Would you pay $10 for an onion? No. Well, usually you don't pay $10 for an onion, but if there's no onions to be found, and you want an onion not just because it tastes good, you want it for a Shabbos thing that has a ruchniyistika thing about it, and it's a special thing, l'kavod Shabbos, well, maybe you're going to pay $10 for an onion. But Reb Naftali wants to buy the whole bag of onions. I want to buy the whole bag, but $10 an onion is ridiculous. $10 an onion. 10 rubles an onion. Well, Naftali took out a whole bunch of money. Somehow, Reb Naftali had a whole bunch of money, and he bought the whole bag of onions. But Naftali of Rapshitz is also now taking out more money. He already paid such a price for the onions. Why is he taking out more money? So he says to the farmer, "I want to buy your big hat, I want to buy your nice big coat, and I want to buy your big boots." Because they were even bigger than Naftali's boots. And the goy says, "What? You want to buy my hat, my coat, and my big boots? Yes, here's the money." Oh, I'm going to be cold. But all of a sudden he looks at how much money it was and he started warming up a little bit. Somehow I'll make it home with this money instead of my big hat, my big coat, and my boots. And Rev Naftali bought the big, gigantic, furry hat and the big coat and the big boots that were even bigger than his boots. Rabbi Bernstein, if he wants onions, why is he buying the farmer's hat, coat, and boots? Well, maybe we'll see. After all, the story is just starting. It's not finished. And Kenelach, let's go to a different place in this story. Outside of the house of the Chayzev Lublin, this is where we go now. Oh boy, is there a lot of snow. And inside the house, the Chayzev's wife and whoever else was cooking in the kitchen is saying, "Oi, it's too bad we have no onions for the cooking, and especially for Ayron Sibele. Oi, vey, what are we going to do?" And outside, the Hasidim are still looking for somebody to sell onions for the Rebbe's table, the Rebbe's tish. When all of a sudden, they hear a sound. "Who want to buy onions? Who want to buy onions?" A farmer is walking with a bag. Look at, is that a farmer with a bag? Look at him. Yes, a farmer with a bag of onions going to sell. Oh, they got excited. The Chassidim heard it from the outside over there. Let's go running over to him. Well, they run as well as they could through the snow. And there's this farmer with this big hat that's covering his face. It's so big. And his big coat and big boots and a big bag of onions. And he's saying, "I want to buy onions. Who wants to buy onions? Oh, we want to buy onions. How much? Hey, onions for you, 20 rubles. Huh? 20 rubles? Are you kidding? So much money? 20 rubles. That's how much each onion. Oh, hey, the Chassidim are trying to get money to buy the onions. It's so much money. And they could not afford to buy onions for 20 rubles an onion. But the Chassidim said, let's at least put our money together and get an onion for our Rebbe. There's this house right there. We'll make our Rebbe happy and we'll buy him an onion. So he'll have Ayir und Sibyl or Ayir und Sibyl. And they're getting the money together and they're saying, we'll buy an onion for our Rebbe. Your Rebbe? What's that Rebbe? A great tzaddik, a holy man. He lives right there. He's the leader of our group. He's our rabbi. We want to buy him an onion. You want to buy him an onion? Why heck? Why he can't buy his own onion? Well, he's not here. He's inside. Ah, an important rabbi. I never saw an important rabbi. Let me see the important rabbi. I sell the onion to him myself. Not you buy. I sell it to him myself. I want to see this important rabbi. Well, the Chassidim said, what's the difference? We'll buy the onion for him. You'll get your money. No, I want to see this important rabbi. Okay. They take this onion man to the door of the Chayzev Lublin's house. And they knock on the door. And the Shamish, who takes care of things for the rabbi, comes to the door. And they say, we have a man with onions, and we're going to buy the onion for the rabbi. It's very expensive, but he just wants to see the rabbi himself, to sell the onion to the rabbi himself. So maybe ask the rabbi if he might come, that he should have the onion. We're going to pay for it, but this man wants to see the rabbi himself before he sells him the onion. And we can't talk him out of it otherwise. Because they really didn't want to bring him to the Rebbe's house. But after all, they want to get the Rebbe the onion. And the Shamish goes to the Chayzev Lublin and he says, there's a man with a bag of onions and the Chassidim want to buy you an onion for Shabbos. But the man says he wants to see you to sell you the onion before he sells the onion, and he just doesn't want to give it to the Chassidim. And the Chayzev comes now to the door because, you know, he wants to get that onion. And now the farmer sees the Halakha Tzaddik, the Chayzev Lublin. And the Chassidim say, we're sorry, Rebbe, to disturb you, but here's onions, and we want to buy one for you for Shabbos, but he wanted to come here himself first. And now the Chassidim say, okay, this is our Rebbe, this is the Chayzev Lublin. Now here's the money, and we would like the onion. The farmer says, not so fast. To do such a business with onions, with money, and it's cold, I'm freezing. I'm not ready to sell the onion yet until I warm up. You first want to warm up and then sell the onion? Yes. I have to reach into the bag. The bag is full of ice. After that, I got the onion. I have to put the money in my pocket. The pocket is cold. I want to warm up first. And the Chayzev says, well, come and sit down near the fire. It's warm in the house. And all of a sudden, this farmer with this big hat covering his face and the big coat, the big boots, is coming now in the Chayzev's house, and he sits down next to the fire. And the Chassidim say, here's the money. Please give us the onion. You must be warm by now. He says, outside I'm warm, but inside I'm still cold. Hey, I need something to warm up inside. Oh, we know what he wants. What could warm up a farmer inside? What do you think? Mashke. Bring him a glass of mashke. And they bring now a bottle of mashke and a small cup. Now, before we go on with the part of the story about warming up this farmer inside, I have to tell you right now what is on the table. Now, I want you to listen to this very closely. On the table, I have to tell you what was on the table. And I have to tell you what the Chayze of Lublin was doing right before the Onion Man came to his house. And this is the same thing that the Chayze of Lublin does every Erev Shabbos. Okay. On the table is the most beautiful, special Kiddush cup, Becher, that you or I have ever seen. It is made from solid gold. It has beautiful pictures in the gold of places in Eretz Yisrael, like the Kosel or different Halakha places. It is shining like the sun. It is sparkling. Because the Chayze was busy shining and polishing that cup until it was so sparkling and shining like a jewel, like a diamond. This is what he did every Erev Shabbos. Now, the whole week, this cup was locked up in a special cabinet with a special lock. And Erev Shabbos, the Chayze would take it out and prepare it for the Shabbos table. No one else would ever touch this cup. Only the Chayze. He would prepare it, he would shine it, he would put it on the table near his place, and of course, he would use it on Shabbos to make Kiddush Friday night and Shabbos by day. And Moitzei Shabbos, probably he made Havdalah from that cup. Then he would wash it and dry it, and he would put it back in the cabinet himself, and he would lock it up the whole week, and nobody ever touched it. Why? Because this was a very special becher that he had gotten from other great rebbes and tzaddikim. The story didn't say exactly who. And the tradition was that whoever would drink from that cup, whoever would make a bracha and drink from that cup would get a tremendous bracha. That was a real kois shel bracha, a special halakha cup. Whoever would make a bracha and drink from that cup would have a tremendous big bracha from Hashem. And the Chayze was the only one who would ever use this cup. Now, it could be, I'm not sure, but it could be from the way this story sounds, that maybe once in a while, for some special reason, the Chayze would let somebody else drink from that cup, and that person would have a tremendous bracha. But it was very unusual. It wasn't like the Chayze just trying to keep it for himself and not share it. But there was some special, special thing about who gets to drink from this cup and what happens to a person when they drink from this cup. Now, this is what was happening right before this Onion Man came to the door. The cup was on the table. Did everybody understand what I just told you? Okay. Now, we go back next to the fire to the Onion Man. And they bring him a bottle of mashke with a small little glazel that, you know, like a l'chaim cup. And they pour him a little cup of mashke. And he looks at the little cup of mashke. Hey, this little cup, mashke, warms up me, a big onion farmer? This is a joke, a little cup? Well, they say, well, you could have a little cup and we'll pour you another one. But two times? Two little cups? This is the way you drink the bashke? Not me, a big onion farmer, a strong onion farmer. Not me like this. Well, we'll bring you a bigger cup. So they bring a bigger cup, a glass, and they pour out into the glass a big bottle, a small glass. It's cheap. This is a special time. I give you the onions in the snow, and this is the way you return the favor. A small glass, bigger than the little glass, but still a small glass. I don't think this is the way I drink the mashke to warm up. Not me. Well, they said, why don't you just take the whole bottle? Me? Drink from the bottle? No, this is not my style. A little cup, a little glass, a big bottle, nothing in between. I think that this is not for me. In fact, I think I better go find someplace else to do onion business today. This is wasting my time. I think I'm going to go and find other people to buy the onions. I'm leaving. And he gets up And he's going out the door. Hey, wait a minute. We didn't get the onion yet for the Chayze of Lublin. We have the money. He says, well, you're not really warming me up inside. I'm still cold. I'll go find someplace else to drink. Enough mashke for me to drink to warm up, and I'll sell the onions. All of a sudden, he's, you know, they're begging him, please come back, please come back. He says, I have an idea, as he's going out the door. And he points to that beautiful, big, golden becher that I just told you about. It was a very big, beautiful, golden becher. This is the kind of cup that I would like to drink the mashke. This is the size, perfect, it's a nice cup. I would like to pour the mashke to this cup and drink from this cup the mashke. That's what I want. All of a sudden, everybody says, whoa. The thought of giving this farmer from the becher of the Chayze of Lublin that nobody, except maybe some very special time, would ever drink from this cup. Only the Halakha Tzaddik himself. He wants to drink mashke. An onion farmer wants to drink mashke from this cup. And all of a sudden, he says, I'm leaving. You don't want, I'm leaving. You give me from this cup, I give you the onion. Not, I leave. Well, they saw they had no choice. The Chayze says himself, okay, come here, sit down. I will give you from the cup. And the chassidim is shaking that this goy should drink from the Rebbe's cup. Shh. And the Chayze himself takes the bottle of mashke. He brings the cup to the farmer. And he pours the mashke into the cup. And now all the Hasidim are watching this farmer with this big hat that's covering his face, with the big coat, with the big boots. And now he's going to drink the mashke. And all of a sudden, this is what happened. The onion farmer takes the cup, and all of a sudden, before he puts it to his mouth, because they just expect that he's going to drink it down, this is what they hear. Baruch atah Hashem, Elohikeinu melech olam. Shehakol nihya bidvaroi. What? This farmer? He made a brug? All of a sudden, he's drinking the cup of mashke. And he takes off the big cap. Do you think this was the same onion farmer that was in the beginning of the story? No. It was not the same onion farmer at the beginning of the story. It looked like him. Who do you think was the one that just now made a shahakol with tremendous kavana on the mashke from the cup of the Rebbe, the Chayze of Lublin? Who do you think it was?
It was the Rebbe's other chassid.
What was his name? Do you remember? It was Reb Naftali of Rabshitz. Do you remember what he did after he bought the onions? And that was a part of the story. Remember, he bought the hat and the coat and the boots? And we were wondering, why did he do that? Because he dressed himself up just like that farmer. Now, it must be that this Reb Naftali was quite a character. Kind of like, remember the stories of Reb Shmuel Munkus?
Yeah.
That he did funny things, but they were always with a very special halakha chokhmah. And, you know, they weren't just stam jokes. They were halakha joke things and clever things. It seems that Reb Naftali of Rabshitz was a character. And he made this special kind of a trick, of course, with a good kavana. Because it seems that he wanted to be able to drink from his Rebbe's cup. And he did drink from his Rebbe's cup. Now, Kenelach, as soon as he took off that hat, and everybody saw that it was a Yid making a bracha, and then it was Reb Naftali of Rabshitz, all the Hasidim looked at the Rebbe. How is the Rebbe going to react to this? And the Chayze of Lublin had a tremendous big smile on his face. And he said, Reb Naftali, if you did this, and you were able to make this chachma to drink from my cup, it must be that you deserve the bracha from drinking from my cup. L'chaim, olivracha, he says l'chaim tim, and a bracha, and he smiled, and he was happy. And of course they had the onions, and they made the ayran sibale, and the chassidim were dancing, and everybody was happy, and there was a special simcha. And of course, since it's a double birthday party, so much simcha in one story, it's a good thing for this birthday party, and especially in the month of Adar, which is Marbi Mesimcha. It's a happy story full of mashke and onions and wine. Well, there wasn't any wine, there was a becher, and you know, it's Erev Shabbos today, so it's an Erev Shabbos story. There's snow today outside, it's a snow story. Oh boy, so many things happening in one story. It's so wonderful. That's nice. I don't make them do that, believe me. They just do that on their own, and you know, it's nice. Thank you. I really appreciate it. Okay, this story is about Reb Elimelech of Lizensk when he became very, very sick. And he was laying in bed, and the doctor said, it looks like the end. This is very serious. Kenelach, the chassidim of Reb Elimelech of Lizensk, they came to say Tehillim and Davin and beg Hashem to let their Rebbe live longer. They need their Rebbe. Please Hashem, don't take him away from the world. They need their Rebbe. And they said Tehillim and they Davin. And sure enough, Reb Elimelech had a refuah shlema. And he came back to be very good and strong and live many more years. But he really almost passed away. Now, if a person is so sick and they get better and have refuah shlema, they make a sudas hoidah, a thank you meal, a special meal to say thank you to Hashem. And that's what Reb Elimelech did with his chassidim. They had a beautiful meal, delicious challahs and delicious food. And by this meal, Reb Elimelech told the story that I'm going to tell you now about what happened when he was very, very sick and almost passed away. This is what he told his chassidim. Reb Elimelech said, when I was almost ready to pass away, that was at the time my neshama was actually the highest, all the way up in Gan Eden. My neshama was already out of my body, and I was just barely alive. And the truth is, it was so beautiful in Gan Eden, I almost did not want to come back to the world. And it's only your davening that helped to bring my neshama back. Because once a person tastes how beautiful Gan Eden is, they really don't want to come back to the world. But since my neshama was in Gan Eden, I saw certain things up there. And most of the things I saw over there, I can't tell you because it's not really something that I'm going to talk about to other people. But there's one other thing that is a big lesson to learn out for everybody, and that's why I'm going to tell you. This is what Reb Elimelech of Lizensk is saying. Shh. He says, I went into a room, a palace in Gan Eden, of the very biggest tzaddikim, and I saw them there. Avraham and Yitzchak and Yaakov and Moshe Rabbeinu, big tzaddiki. And all of a sudden, I saw the neshama of Matul the bookbinder. Now, in Lizensk was a simple yid named Matul. He was a bookbinder. You know what a bookbinder does? He takes Sfarim, a siddur that's almost falling apart, but you can still daven from it. And if you wouldn't fix it or do anything, it'll just fall all apart. And you take that and you fix it. You put a new cover on it. You put the pages together.